Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have an extraordinary sex life. You can suggest a topic for a future podcast by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find a complete podcast archive, over 200 episodes and counting, as well as a lot of other resources for you and our premium online multimedia courses, which you can sign up for as soon as you're ready to level up your sexual skills. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about sex positions and what they do and do not change about your sexual experience. A lot of people are really focused on sex positions when it comes to having better sex. You see a lot of Cosmo sex advice about positions. And so we want to take a look at sex positions and what they mean for your sexual experience. We received a call from one of our listeners, and it's in response to episode 2 of this podcast. We're now at 212 or something like that. And this was episode 2, Lasting Longer in Bed. And I just want to say, we receive a lot of emails from people who discover the podcast and start working their way through the archives. And there's a couple ways to approach it. You can start at the beginning with episode 1 and listen in order. You can start at the most current episode and work your way back. You can also use the sex index, where all of our posts are organized by topic. So you can find what interests you the most now, what you're struggling with, and dive in that way. And so this listener apparently started at the beginning, perhaps, and he's listening to episode 2, which was about lasting longer in bed, which is, of course, a question we get a lot from guys. How do they last longer? How do they work with premature ejaculation? And there is a myth that if a man has a longer erection, that makes him a better lover. And we really wanted to debunk that myth. We've talked about this on a lot of episodes since then. But in that episode, we gave the advice to really try to relax while you're having sex, to not build up so much muscular tension, to relax your emotional anxiety. Relaxation was a theme there, because if you can relax into arousal, you can build higher levels of arousal before you ejaculate as a man. So we received this call. We're going to play it for you now and then dive into this topic. Here you go.
Hi, Pleasure Mechanics. You can call me Tom. I just listened to your podcast on men lasting longer, and I noticed you did not include, so far as I heard, a discussion of the position these people were using. I guess you just assumed that the man was on top, because if the man is on the bottom, he can relax much more than he would if he is on the top, seeing as how there's a lot of muscle tension holding yourself up, thrusting, et cetera. And that all contributes to the premature ejaculation. Why not suggest that the woman be on top and be cognizant of how he is doing? In other words, change places, you know, so that the woman is running the fuck, as they say, and takes also the responsibility for both persons' pleasure. I'm pretty sure that the man will last quite a bit longer if he doesn't have all that responsibility. Thanks. Bye.
First of all, thank you so much for calling. We want everyone to know that you can leave us a voicemail and participate in this podcast by going to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, where you can just hit a button right on your browser and record us a message. And you can respond to previous episodes, you can suggest a topic for another episode, you can just tell us what's on your mind. We love hearing from you.
Or you can share with us if you've used any of our tips and techniques, how they have worked for you and what they have created in your relationship.
We love a good success story, indeed. So let's look at this question of sex positions, because in this call, he kind of suggests, well, if the man's on bottom and the woman's on top, that, of course, will make him last longer, right? And that's not always true.
But it's awesome to try. Everybody is different. Everybody's turn-ons and the configuration between the two of you are different. It may work for you, and it's absolutely worth an experiment if you are trying to encourage yourself to last longer. it is always worth experimenting. Try it out for yourself and see if the man being on the bottom supports a longer erection.
Because the interesting thing is, relaxation is one part of the equation, but so is mental arousal. And for some men, the visual and the sensation of having the woman on top could be enough to make him ejaculate in and of itself. For some men, that's such a fantasy, and he loves seeing the woman and her breasts bouncing and her moving on top of him, that he might not last long at all in that position. For another man, it might be just what he needs to relax, to sink into the mattress, let her do more of the work, as Tom suggests, and that might be a great key for lasting longer in bed. And I think this is the thing about positions, is that no one position can dictate your sexual experience. We often think about positions as this magic key to unlocking specific erotic experiences, that if you do it doggy style, all of a sudden it's much dirtier and raunchier and naughtier. But for some people, that same position, maybe they call it the tiger pose instead of doggy style. Whatever you call it, maybe that position is actually super loving and gentle and soft, and you're riding in this very smooth rhythm, and it's not at all dirty and raunchy like someone else in that same exact position, getting spanked and having her hair pulled and being ridden like a stallion, right? Like, each position can have so many different nuances and emotional experiences, again, depending on what you overlay on top of the sexual behavior. And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Sex is this equation between what you're physically doing, what you're feeling emotionally, the dynamic between you, and your intentions that you overlay onto the sexual experience. So a kiss is not just a kiss. Doggy style is not just doggy style. It really depends on what emotions and intentions you bring and what energy is being transmitted between you. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Positions are not what define the experience. They're one key ingredient, and there are 1,000 other factors that are playing in to create each different sexual encounter. And what works one time could work not work another time, or work differently another time.
You just gotta keep playing.
You just gotta keep experimenting and knowing that that's the beauty of it, is it can always be different. So don't rely on any one technique to create a specific experience for you. You always got to be paying attention to all the different factors and ingredients going into that one sexual experience that you're having.
But there's a second part to this call that I think also needs to be addressed, and that is this question of who, quote, controls the fuck. And I think it is so true that women often underestimate how much work it is to have intercourse when you're the one on top doing the thrusting, doing the moving. And you learn this very quickly as a woman when you put on a strap-on and penetrate a partner. I totally remember the first time I wore a strap-on, and I was exhausted after like 90 seconds of fucking my girlfriend at the time. And I think it's a really great way to build compassion, is for women to wear strap-ons and to be the one in charge of penetrating, or to be on top and to be the one moving and more active in the sexual encounter. But the idea that any one person is controlling the fuck, I think, should be addressed here, because it's not just one person's responsibility to dictate the pace and the rhythm and the depth and the speed and all of those elements of the sexual encounter. It really has to be a conversation between you two, between your bodies. And being on bottom, quote unquote, doesn't mean being passive. And I think that is something that really needs to be unraveled, because so many people, when they are on bottom, lie there and take it like a passive receptacle. And this is not an equation for great sex for either partner.
So true. There is a lot that you can do when you're on the bottom, quote, whether that is using your voice, whether that's thrusting into the partner, whether that's tilting your pelvis, whether that's pulling their body towards you. Like, there's just using your breath. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways you can be deeply engaged with your body, your mind, your soul, your heart, while you're receiving. And this is a really essential piece to integrate into your sex life, that no one is just
passive.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really important.
This question about being passive is different than being relaxed. And I think this, again, should be pulled apart because it's really nice to be relaxed when you're aroused. And there is a special treat about being able to completely relax, lie back, recline, and be done. And that's an experience that we should all have every once in a while. And it should be communicated ahead of time that that is what you're going for. So if you are in the mood to completely lie back, surrender, and receive erotic stimulation, you have to ask for that and see if your partner is up for being the one to be more active and to be giving you stimulation so you can just go into a trance, relax and receive, and experience this. A lot of people love oral sex for this reason, because when you're receiving oral, there's not as much of an expectation that you're going to participate simultaneously. It is an opportunity to relax, receive, and go into your own sensations and go on that journey. And erotic massage is something else that we talk about a lot on this podcast, and that is using your hands to give a full body massage and then go into erotic stimulation with your hands. Another beautiful opportunity to completely relax in the same way you would during a full body massage while receiving erotic stimulation. And I think this is a gift we can give one another while it's actively being negotiated and agreed upon. And that is really different than if you're having partnered sex and one person just checks out and goes limp and becomes passive and non-participatory, and the other person is trying to create a sexual experience on their own. And so those two should really be differentiated between relaxing, receiving, surrendering into sensation, and going passive and checking out and not being part of the sexual experience.
So that might sound really nuanced, but it's such a profoundly different experience, and it's really important that we acknowledge that and explore in your own life what those energies feel like, or how they're different, or if you're used to being checking out, and a lot of us are, like it's kind of a norm in a way in our culture.
Well, it comes from a history where intercourse was the only sexual behavior that was condoned by society. It was the only normal thing to do.
Quote unquote.
And women's pleasure had nothing to do with the equation. It was about reproduction. It was about men's pleasure. And so the women were completely expected to, if not required to, just go limp, check out, allow themselves to be a vessel upon which they are fucked.
Because it's also a sin to experience pleasure. So, yeah. I mean, there's just so many, there's so much to that. So
with no warm-up, no foreplay, no interest in the female experience, that has been how women have mostly had sex for the past many centuries, is just lying there and receiving whatever is coming at them. And checking out emotionally and checking out physically of your body, disassociating from your body and sensations, is only normal there because intercourse without preparation is really uncomfortable or painful. And so that disassociation, that checking out, that going passive is a survival technique when you're essentially being assaulted. Now, listeners of this podcast, we are interested in a totally different sexual model where both partners' experience matters, where both partners' pleasure is a priority. And this is a totally different model of intercourse. And yes, putting the woman on top, making her in control of the penetration, is one way to create a more active female partner, to put her pleasure as the priority. She gets to control the speed. A lot of women love that. It's also very intimidating for a lot of women. It's very challenging to be on top, both physically and emotionally, for women. So we need to not make that the only solution. When women are on the bottom, in missionary position, whatever position you're in, you can choose to be more active and participatory and controlling the fuck together. I think that's the point I want to get to, is if you haven't agreed to one-way touch, to one person surrendering, to that one-way model of erotic stimulation, then you're in it together and you should be participating together and controlling the fuck together and creating an experience together, which means the person receiving the penetration has an active voice in saying, slow it down, move in a little deeper, hold still and just breathe with me, can you touch me here? Whatever it is they need for more pleasure, that voice is activated. The person who's doing the penetration has the capacity, without any shame, without any hesitation, to say, oh, I need a break, let me roll over and let's change positions, or ooh, my thigh is getting a cramp. Like, I need to move this around a little bit. Like, it's not this pressure to perform. It's co-creating an experience authentically in the moment without any agenda, expectations, or pressure to perform in any one single way. And I think that's the key to intercourse that can feel fun and free and exciting and liberating and joyful and playful and funny, you know, funny, like that place where you're having fun together. Like, sex is a way we play as adults, and it doesn't have to be this high pressure,
serious thing all the time.
Jackhammer me until you come, baby.
Unless you really want it to be.
So this question of controlling the fuck, I think, is something to really examine for yourself and examine what that means in your relationship. Like, is there just the pressure for the man to turn the woman on and kind of do the whole performance, and the pressure's on him to make it good? Right? Or is it something you're both actively participating in? Your voices are both active. You can talk openly both during and after sex, in and out of the bedroom, about what your needs are to make sex even better. Because that's how you get to a great sex life together. It's not by expecting one partner to perform in any one way.
And that's a practice, and we can practice that for all of our life. Like, it's a skill set that we keep learning as individuals and as a couple. And there's a vocabulary, and it takes courage and bravery and being able to articulate things. I mean, it's quite the journey.
And in a long-term relationship, you have to remember that bodies change and physical abilities change. You know, you might not be able to ride one another in the same way year in and year out. If you have an injury, you might have to completely change your sexual repertoire to accommodate for that injury or an illness that comes up. And that flexibility is essential. If you get locked into, this is how we fuck, these are the positions that work for us, nothing else can work, then as your bodies change, you might back yourself into a wall where you don't have any options. If you have a spirit of curiosity and flexibility and an openness to trying different positions, trying different dynamics, trying different kinds of furniture, all of these open, flexible options, then, you know, if someone gets a knee injury and it takes them out of the game for 6 months of being on top, you have 50 other things that you've tried before that you can call upon to continue an erotic life together, whether or not that includes penetration, whether or not that includes intercourse. Because again, like, we're going to say this until episode 999, intercourse is not sex. Intercourse is one way humans have sex. There are lots of other ways to arouse, excite, and bring one another to orgasm. And you really need to expand your repertoire, expand your idea of what sex is if you want a more frequent, more orgasmic sex life. The first step there is to de-emphasize intercourse as what defines sex. And that's such a challenging thing for us in this culture because it's what we've been taught. But it really is the first step. It's kind of like pulling back the blinds, opening that window wider, and remembering that there's this vast way that humans are sexual together, and we need to open that up for ourselves and for one another, and remember all of the options that are at hand.
Amazing.
So let's circle back. This question of sex positions, and can a sex position change your sexual experience? Sure.
Yes and no.
But those posters that show, you know, the 69 positions of the Kama Sutra and 101 sex positions to try tonight, A, most of them are completely unavailable for most people in their level of fitness and flexibility.
Absolutely.
And if you want to try, you know, the plow position where she's balanced on her hands and you're penetrating her in midair while one foot is up on your forehead, try it. Be careful. Wear a helmet. But don't think that by trying these contortionist positions, you're going to have better sex. Most of them just put stress on the body, make you uncomfortable, and you can't relax into your arousal anyway. So there's probably a handful of sexual positions, a dozen maybe, that are more realistic for people, that people go back to time and time again, because it's how the bodies fit together. And depending on your size proportions, depending on your abilities, all of these things, you're going to have a core set of positions that work for you. And those are the ones you can go back to and explore and try. And they may create different power dynamics between you. They may create different arousal dynamics. Some women love being on top and leaning back and arching their back and riding the cock and moving their hips and having their breasts touched and being told how beautiful they are. Some women revel in that. For others, it would totally lock them down, freak them out, and it would be over. These things can change over time. We often say, like, if a woman's shy about getting on top, put a blindfold on him so the visual stimulation's gone. You don't have to worry about if your belly is moving in a weird way or if you look funny. Without that, can you be free to move around on his penis? How does that feel? Try it on a couch instead of a bed, because that totally changes how you have to hold your body weight. This spirit of exploration is the one key to trying different sexual positions and noticing how they shift your experience. Don't think that it's going to create a specific fixed experience every one time. You really have to go into it with this exploration and with a spirit of, let's see what happens this time. Let's see where we're at together now. And with that attitude in place, try all the positions you want. Make up a new position. You know, there's some positions that never made sense to me until I was with a specific lover in a specific moment. And then all of a sudden that side-by-side spooning position and the reach around was super sweet. That never would have worked 6 months before or with a different partner. These things change. I think this is the word that always comes up in this podcast is change, flexibility, curiosity, exploration. And so for so many of us, our attitude is really far away from that. Our attitude is more about performance, about accomplishment, achievement, being graded on our sexual performance like it's some test. That if you have to do specific things in a specific order with a specific skill set, then you'll be a good lover. And most of us know deep in our hearts that's not what makes great sex. That's not what makes a great sexual connection between you and your partner. And if you really reflect on what does, it's really about attitude and what you're bringing in terms of your emotions and your presence with another person. So presence over positions, ooh, perhaps we should say. Yes. So thank you, caller, for calling in. We love hearing your responses to these episodes. It's really important for us to hear what you're thinking as you listen to these episodes. And you can do that over email. We always love getting emails, which is how most of you communicate with us. We get some amazing testimonials and reflections on your relationships and how our advice has shifted things for you. We love that. I often dance into the room and share them with Charlotte, and we have long conversations about what you share with us. But we're also really encouraging you to share your voice with us. Go to pleasuremechanics.com/hello, record a message. It's anonymous other than the sound of your voice. And tell us what's on your mind. Tell us your stories, your struggles, your questions, your insights, your wisdom. And we will share your voices on future episodes of this podcast.
So thank you, Tom.
Yes.
Very, very much.
You've broken the ice for us, and we hope to share more of your voices on future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, go over to pleasuremechanics.com and explore our full range of resources for you. As we said, we have over 200 podcast episodes to listen to, tons of great articles and resources for you, as well as our online multimedia courses, which are these incredible packages of videos, audio, books that help you master new sexual skill sets, help you create new experiences with your partner. And we've gotten amazing feedback from them, and we hope to share them with you. So when you are ready for a new erotic experience, whether that's couples massage and the relaxation of that, or erotic spanking and the thrills of that, anywhere in between, come over to pleasuremechanics.com, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice, and join our global pleasure-seeking community.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.